Today, Shem Sechba B'mitziya Dafayin Dalad, we will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Dalad Amar Aleph on the top line, Amar Rava. So teaches us the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hani Beit Losa. If you have three individuals, the Yav is Zuzil Chad, they gave money to one individual, L'mizbim L'midi, to buy something on their behalf, and they will then sell what this person is buying on their behalf, and make a profit. V'zavin l'chaminayu, and he went and he bought for one of them. In other words, it was his intention that he's only buying for one of these three people who left money with him. The halacha is, since all three of them, and we'll explain this more in a moment, gave him money, zavin l'kula, the sale is really for all three. However, comments the Gemara, v'lo yamar, and this halacha was only stated, the light tsara of a chasam inish l'chudei, that each person's money was not separate. All the money was commingled. Avot tsara of a chasam inish l'chudei, if each person's money was separate, l'man de zoven, on behalf of the individual whom he bought for, he's bought, l'man de loy zoven, on behalf of the individual for whom he did not buy, Loizavin. That's the way the Rambam and Rashi explains. If the money is all mingled together, and even if it was the Shliach that mixed this money together, they're all considered partners in all of the money, and having in mind that you're buying it for one more than the others is not going to make a difference. If the money is not mingled together, even though they gave it to the shliach at one time, and they didn't care, these three people, that each person's money should be kept separate, that still doesn't make them into partners. And since the money is separate, for whomever he bought, that is for whom he bought. The Ritva, however, quotes the Ramban, that if all three of them gave him their money together, and they weren't careful, they weren't particular that the money should keep kept separate, then the money is considered mingled, and even if the money wasn't actually physically mixed up, and even if he had a mind that he's only buying for one of them, it wouldn't make a difference, only in a case where he not just had a mind, but says the Ritva, that he expressly articulated that he's only buying it for one of them. Anything else that will be that it's considered all of theirs. Only in a case, says the Ritva, where the money was kept separate, and certainly, says the Ritva, not only if the money was kept separate, but each person gave him their money separately. So that is a shows clearly that the money is separate. And since the money is separate, the money that he spent for the person who gave him that money will be a sale. And for the person who he didn't spend the money, it won't be bought for him. Says the Gemara. Now, one of the concepts that we've been learning over and over in our shiurim is the concept of a kinyan. The midaraisa, something does not become someone else's unless a proper kinyan is made. We've learned about many types of kinyanim, mishicha, hagbah, etc. But now teaches us the Gemara, Amra Papi Mishmei Durava, Haist at the small. If somebody made a kinyan in the way people normally make kinyanim, then it's a final kinyan. Ask the Gemara, how far do we take this? L'mai Hilchasa. What is it meant that we're learning here that doing a kinyan in the fashion that a kinyan is normally done makes it into a full-fledged kinyan? Says the Gemara, Rav Chaviv Amar L'mikna Mamish. It makes it into a real full-fledged kinyan, as we've been learning throughout our Masechta. When you have a full-fledged kinyan, nothing can be retracted. Says the Gemara that this type of a kinyan is a full-fledged kinyan. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say, not to that degree. It's only in a situation that L'kabul Alei Mishapara. As we've also learned in our shiurim, the halacha is that if somebody enters into a transaction where it wasn't a full-fledged kinyan, but there was a commitment, or it was somewhat of a transaction. So it's not final, but it accomplishes that much that the person who backs out has to take upon himself a mishaporo. Says the Gemara, estimosa accomplishes a mishaporo. And the Rambam makes a very important point that the entire discussion of our Gemara is only in a situation where there was an agreement on price. If there was no agreement on price, then of course the stismosa is nothing. V'hilchasa, says the Gemara, the halacha is that all a stismosa accomplishes, suggests the Gemara, is l'kabula le'mishapara, that affects a mishapara. However, ba'aser demnahag le'mikni mamish, but in a place where this is a way to make a kinyan, then kani, it's a full-fledged kinyan. And there's a very big machloikus rishoinim and achroinim, how to approach this Gemara. Some suggest that it's apparently that the opinion of the Tshuvas Ramah, the opinion of the Nesivis, that the Stimasai is only a kinyan midirabonin. The Chsam Sofer, however, is of the opinion that the Stimasai is a kinyan deraisa, because he says that what Rava is teaching us in our sugya is that it's the Musa works midiraisa, because that it should work midirabonin is not a chiddush. What the chiddush here is that it works even midiraisa. And so too is the opinion of Rebbe Choron, that based on a Tosfos and Masechta Kedushin, that it's a kinyan midiraisa. And the Chasam Sofer has a very and Rebbe Chanan has a very interesting approach to why. He says one of the fundamental concepts that we discuss when we learn our Masechta, when we learn Chayshim Mishpat, is that the Minig HaMedina is very strong, and therefore he explains that since Astimosoi, the whole concept behind Astimosoi is that it's based, and this is the way Kinyanim are conducted. Since it's based on the fact that this is the way Kinyanim are conducted, that makes it the Minig HaMakom. And if it's the Minig HaMakom, it works midiraisam. And the Dvar Avram takes this one step further. Because Dvar Avram discusses the Kinyan Chalipin. We discussed Kinyan Chalipin quite extensively earlier in our Masechta. And the Dvar Avram says, when we think about the Kinyan Chalipin, and we go back to the Psukim in Megillas Rus, we go back to the Megillas Rus, the halacha was that the, how did we learn that Chalipin is effective? Because the Pasuk says, look, the Zois Lefnim B'Yisrael, this was the Minigan Klal Yisrael, Shalafish Naloi, that the way a Kinyan was done was through a Kinyan Chalipin. Says the Dvar Avram, from there we see that what makes a kinyan into a kinyan, the fact that it's the Minig HaMakom. And here too, and that's what Stimosoi is all about. The Rosh, quoting the Rach, says that what is a Stimosoi? He says that Rashi seems to say that the definition of Stimosoi is that when one wanted a barrel of wine, he would put his name, he would put a sign that this is my barrel, and that's a recognized kinyan. The Rosh, quoting the Rach, says that the definition of a stimosoi was a handshake. And he says that in that place that where they lived, that was the way a handshake was done. And since that's the way kinyanim were done, that's what makes it into a kinyan deraisa. The Shaul Shetshuvas Retvaz says, what's the halacha where somebody entered into an agreement with somebody else that when he'll have a baby boy, he'll ask him to be the tzaddik. And now, Baruch Hashem, he had a little boy, but he wants somebody else to be the tzaddik. What's the halacha? So the Ratvas says, that he writes back to the person who asks him the shaila. He says, certainly, if the person who asked you, if the person who gave you his word that you'll be the tzaddik said that before the baby was born, so that becomes that's certainly in the category of a davar shelo b'loilim. And as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, you can't make a kinyan on a davar shelo b'loilim. But after the baby was born, since in Klal Yisrael, the way somebody is honored, somebody is asked to be a tzaddik, there's no formal kinyan. The way it's done is by just going over to that person and asking him and telling him that you should please be the tzaddik at my son's bris. That becomes the way this kinyan is made. And since that becomes the way this kinyan is made, it falls into the category of a stimosai. Similarly, I saw that the Marshag discusses that if with Dibur alone, if that's the way this kinyan is normally accomplished, it's a fair way of making a kinyan. And Ramash Sternberg Shlita and the Shas Chuvas Vidahagis, Chelik Aleph, Simon Tuf Tuf Gimel, discusses that in certain industries, the way deals are accomplished is with a words, they say Mazul Abracha. He says that that's considered a full-fledged kinyan, and I saw that the Pesachei Choshen also considers that to be considered to be a kinyan stimosai. And therefore, the Paiskim that suggest that if one makes an order, places an order over the telephone, and certainly if he gives payment instructions, credit card instructions, that would be in the category of a kinyan stimosai and be a full-fledged kinyan. We learned in the Mishnah that if the person who's selling produce has those payers in his possession, and even though they did not ripe yet, but since he owns this type of product, he could make a deal even though there isn't a published price yet on the product that's being sold. Because that's considered yeshloi. It's considered that he owns this. And as we learned in the Mishnah, once you are in the category of yeshloi, it's good enough. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, when is it considered that you have it? When it's mechus shtayim. When there are two things that still need to be done to complete this, to complete the processing of the fruit. However, shalosh, if it needs three activities, ain't a paisik. You can't, it's not considered yours. And as I saw, the Ritva explains, when it's missing two actions, so it's most likely that it's going to come to fruition, and that's why it's considered yeshloi. However, when it's three melachos that are still required, so it's not at all in any way guaranteed that's going to happen, and that's why it's not considered yeshloi. Shmuel has a different approach. Shmuel amabdei adam, if what needs to be done is in control of a person, that afilameya, even if it's missing 100 things, it's considered yeshloi upaisik. However, if it's b'dei shemayim, it's not in my control, then afilo achas, even if it's just one melacha that's missing, ain't a paisik, you can't enter into this agreement. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, paisik imai ala godish. Godish is the produce that still needs threshing. Ask the Gemara, when it's at that point, from a chusam mishda b'chama, it still has to be put in the sun. It has to be lemebish. It has to be put out to dry. It has to be lemebish. It has to be threshed. And it has to be midra. And it has to be winnowed. So it's missing four. So why, according to Rav, is it going to be acceptable? According to Rav, it cannot be missing more than two melachas. Answers the Gemara, the case of our Mishnah is referring to kegoyin d'shchada b'chsham v'yavish, that it was already put out to dry. So it's only missing two. Ask the Gemara, u'shmol d'amar b'dei shemayim, if it's something that's not in our control, afilo achas ein apaisig v'mechisa midra, it's missing winnowing in the wind, the b'dei shemayim, the wind is not in our control. Answers the Gemara, Efshem Nefasa. It could be winnowed with a fan, which is obviously something that we control. We learned further in our Mishnah, Alavet Shalanovim, on grapes. So if you have grapes at any point, it's considered Yeshloi. Ask the Gemara, but for Mechusar, there are four malachas that still have to be done here. Michmer, they have to, the grapes are put into a barrel where they get hot and they ripen. The Yulei Lebei Metzata, then it has to be taken to the wine press. The Medesh, they have to be pressed. Or the Mingoid, and they have to then be taken out of the press. Answers the Gemara, Kiratani Rav Chia. As Rav Chia spoke about when he tried to explain the case of the olives, when he spoke about the Koyim Shel Zaysim, that they already were in the barrel, and therefore, then they're only missing two things, taking them to the press and finishing the press. But ask the Gemara, at that point, for Mechusri Tlas, so that's the Gemara, but ask the Huzava Hunogid. The one that buys the wine is the one that takes it out of the wine press. So as far as the wine producer, he's only missing two malachas. So ask the Gemara, we spoke about the Matan Shel Zaysim. If you sold olives, even at an early state, it's considered Yeshloi. But ask the Gemara again, for Mechusr, Michmer, that the olives have to be left to be ripened. The Yulel Bei Tafi, they have to be taken to the ala press. The Medish, they have to be pressed. Or the Mingod, and then they have to be taken out of the press. Answers the Gemara, Tanar Abchia, the Mishnah speaking about Koyim Shazaisim. The olive were already put, they already were out of the barrel where they became ripe. But ask the Gemara, but it's still missing tlas, and Rav says it could only be missing two malachas. Answers the Gemara, again, the one that buys it takes it for the wine press, so it's only two malachas that the seller has to do. We learned Alabetzim Shel Yoitzer, that somebody sells earthenware, where he still only has just balls of clay. Amai, but ask the Gemara, why could having clay be considered enough? For Mechusar, there are many melachis that are needed until you turn the clay into a pot. Lefufe, you have to roll the dough to the right size. V'yivushi, you have to let it dry. A Yula Latana, it has to be put into the furnace. Lemisrif, it has to be left in the furnace until it becomes earthenware. Well, a mepek, until it has to be taken out of the furnace. Answers the Gemara, Kiva the Malafa B'Yeshu. Our Mishnah speaking about a case where they already took the right size. But ask the Gemara, even if they took the right size, they could tell us there's still three malachas missing. Answers the Gemara, but ask the Zavon who might pick, the person that who sells it is the one that takes it out of the furnace. Vela Sid, online, Mishiyash Gunnabe Kivshin, for when it's put into the furnace. Ask the Gemara, Vaha Mechusar, Mikla, you have to have them get burnt in the, cooked, burnt, dried in the furnace. Vafuke, they have to be taken out of the furnace. Or Medik, and they have to then be crumbled into lime. Answers the Gemara, Basu the Hudazov and Hudaik, the one that buys it is the one that crumbles it. Ask the Gemara, Ula Shmuel, but according to Shmuel the Omar, Bidei Adam, if it's something that's in our control, Afilmeya, even if there's 100 malachas missing paisik, so why, ask the Gemara, is it only considered Yeshloi? After you put it into the furnace, it shouldn't make a difference, since everything that needs to be done is under human control. Answers the Gemara, indeed. According to Shmuel, as soon as Ema, Mishar, Shiroi, Lakshaka, Bekivshin, as soon as it could be put into the furnace, at that point it's already considered Yeshloi. We learned in the Mishnah, Valabetzim Shiyotzer, which we said is clay, which is ultimately turned into Kli Cheres. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Ein Poiskim Al Beitzim Shiyotzer, you can't make a deal on clay, that if I make a deal with clay, you'll have to give me earthenware. At Shiyasu, until you make them into these balls of clay. Divrei Rameya, that's the opinion of Rameya. Amr Rab Yossi, Vamei Devar Mamurim, Ba'afalovin, that's only if you're making it out of white sand. Since that sand is very uncommon, So unless you have the white sand, unless you have the white sand already made into bowls, it's not considered yeshloi. Kegoyim, kvar chananya chavrsaha, like the city of kvar chananya, kvar shchen chavrsaha, poiskin, even though in these places, even though you don't have yet the white sand, but it's very, very common to people having it, and therefore it's in the category, even though I don't have it, somebody else has it, and once somebody else has it, it's already considered yeshloi. Tosfos, however, questions, do you have to also have yotza hashar? You have to have that the price has been established, or the fact that since it's so common to have this in these places, it's already considered adequate that you can make such a deal. Says the Gemara, Amema Yoav Zozi, Amema would make a contract for Klicheres, Mikimaila Afra, from as soon as they brought the sand into their possession. Come on. Ask the Gemara, whose opinion was he following? Ikra meya ama achiyasu, you have to make him into balls. And just having the sand is inadequate. Vikra b'yosu ama apishen l'zeh yesh l'zeh, as long as it's available, it's good enough. Answers the Gemara, loylam a meimer holds like Rabbi Yosi. Well, ba'asu the meimer osuk afra, in the place where a meimer lived, sand was very expensive and not very commonly found. Idemaila afra. So if the person already owns the sand, samchedate, the person who's making a contract for it is confident that this is going to happen. And as we often discuss, the critical point is the seriousness of intent. So at that point, we can be confident about a seriousness of intent. Viloy, but if they didn't bring the sand in, there's loy samchedate, and therefore a contract would not be meaningful. We learned further in the Mishnah, one can make a contract for fertilizer all year round. Says the Gemara, in the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yossi said, you can't unless you actually own fertilizer, and the Chama are lenient. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim? Answers the Gemara, Amarava, they're arguing what's going to be in the winter. And there are three opinions in our Mishnah. The Tanakhama says that all year round, summer, winter, you can make a deal, or you can make a deal on Zevel. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that only you can never make a deal on fertilizer unless he actually has the fertilizer. And the Chacham's opinion is that in the summer, since there's so much fertilizer from accumulated from the whole year, you can make a deal, even if you don't have it yourself. In the winter, unless you actually have it, the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Yossi, you can't make a contract on Zevel. We learned in the Mishnah that whenever we've learned you can make a contract on Paris, which we've learned that one of two conditions have to be met. Either the price has been established or he has this type of payri. Says the Gemara, you can make the deal that if at the time when you have to fulfill the contract, the price will go down, you will give me payris at the cheap price. According to Tanakhama, you have to clearly articulate that condition. And if you did not express it, you can't take it according to the cheaper price. You have to follow the price that was there when you entered the contract. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you did not explicitly make that condition, it's understood that you're entitled to get the payers at the cheaper price. And if they're not given to you at that cheaper price, you're entitled to get your money back. Says the Gemara, there was a person who they used to have, I guess you would call it, a package, what they would give to every kallah. And there was a person who was giving, who gave money, and there were people that sold that package. And there was a son-in-law who, on behalf of his father-in-law, went to that individual who sold this package, that he should deliver to him that package at a certain day. But what happened was, L'soif, at the end, but there was no real kinyan, points out the Ritva. And says the Gemara, L'soif, Zal Nadunya. The price of that package went down. And the person who bought that package wanted to go back out of the deal because the price that they had originally agreed on was higher than the price that you could get this package for currently. Says the Gemara, Asul Kamed Rapapa. So he came to Rapapa to ask if he could back out of the deal. Amala Ipsakta, if you made up that if the going to go down, you're going to pay Kishar HaGvoya, you're going to pay the lower price, Shokol Kashta, then you're entitled to. Viloy, but if that wasn't articulated, Shokol Kimikara, you have to take it according to the price that you agreed on. Amalei Rabbanan L'Rapapa. So Rabbanan said to Rapapa, Viloy Pasek, if they didn't agree to this, Shokol Mikara, then is the halacha that he has to honor the original price? Ask the Gemara Manas Nenu. All that they agreed to was maybe on the price or deposit was just given. And we've learned so many times in our Masechta, the Maas Loikanu, that just giving money doesn't create a kinyan by Matatlin. Amalu, Anon Nami, what I meant to say was that the person who backs out, as we've learned earlier in our shiur today, l'kabulale misha per kamina. We learned that if there was no full-fledged commitment, but a deposit was a full-fledged kinyan, but a deposit was given, the one that backs out is obligated to take a misha para. He says, that's what I mean. And he says, iposak, if they agreed that shara gvaya, that if it goes down, then you'll get the better price, then the halacha is, and now if the seller is not willing to honor that commitment, so he's the one that's backing out, and he's the one, he's the one that's going to be obligated to accept upon himself the curse of a mishapara. If that wasn't agreed upon, so the buyer has to take the higher original price, and if he backs out, it's the lekech kahadabei, it's the buyer who's backing out, and therefore mekabel lekech mishapara, he's going to have to take the mishapara. We learned earlier in our masechta on daf mem dalet amud aleph amachlokes chachamim erav Shimon regarding kinyan kesef. The chachamim's opinion is that kesef is never affect a kinyan by matatlin, and therefore if a lekeach gave money for matatlin without any type of a kinyan, no mashicha, no agbar, there is no kinyan. And therefore, midaraisa, both the seller or the buyer under such circumstances to back out. But as we just learned, whoever backs out has to accept the mishapara. Rav Shimon's opinion is the midaraisa mos kindness. And even the chachamim who said that mos are not kindness, that's only as far as the seller is concerned. That the seller could back out even though he already got a deposit. The lekeach cannot back out once he gave money because we follow the din deraisa under those circumstances, says Rav Shimon, and Mos is a kinyan b'deraisa. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina l'Rapapa. The fact that you pass like the Chachamim on daf ayin beis amud beis, that the buyer has to stipulate that if the price goes down, when they made this contract, that if the price goes down, he'll be entitled to the low price. And if that wasn't articulated, you cannot request that. Obviously, your opinion is like you follow the halacha of the rabbim versus Rabbi Yehuda, who's a yachid. Says the Gemara, Umamai, the Rabbanan he, why are we saying that the opinion of Tanakhama is following the opinion of the Rabbanan that arguing Rabbi Shimon Damri, and they say Mas Lekana, and therefore neither of them can back out the Filahachi. And still the Tana says that Iposak, if it was stipulated Kishar Gvoya according to the cheaper price, Shokl Kirahashta, then you could take the cheaper price, Eloi Posak, but if not Shokl Kirahmikara, Dilma, says the Gemara, maybe the opinion of the Tanakama is following the opinion of Shimini, Dama Mars Kainus, and Kiposak, and when they made this agreement, Kishar Gvoya, Shokl Kirahashta, if they agree that they're going to pay the cheaper price if it goes down, great. Eloi Posak, if they didn't agree, the reason Shokl Kimikara is Mishim Kudakon Lezuzah, because he gave a deposit. Avil Rabbonin, but according to the opinion of the Rabbonin that we just quoted from Daf Mem Dalid, that Mars are not Koina, then the halacha is, since Mars are not Koina, so there was no Kinyan, and therefore the halacha ought to be, Bein Posak, whether they made the stipulation up front, or Bein Loi Posak, where they did not make the stipulation up front, Shikol Kehashta. They should be entitled to take, the buyer should be entitled to take the cheaper price, because the data de inish at Tarazila. We could assume that the person always wants to pay the cheaper price, and since there was, so if there was a Kenyan, sorry. But if we're learning, like, the opinion, but we're following the opinion of Rabbanan, that Mos and Akinus, that there was no Kenyan, and that's why he could back out. Amalei, so he said, Eimadam Reb Shimon, when did Reb Shimon say that Mos Akinus Bechatara, when there's no difference in price, there's been a consistent price, betray Tara, when the price changed me, Omer, that did Rav Shimon say that the buyer can't back out? In such a case, Rav Shimon certainly agrees with the Chachamim that there is no Kenyan. And still, even though Rav Shimon's telling us that in such circumstances, midaraisa, you could back out, still, the halacha is that if you back out because you did not, without a prior stipulation, you're going to take a mishapara. And therefore, the fact that it was obvious that that was your intention doesn't make a difference. Dilai taima. If you're not going to say so, Misha Paral of Shimla, Misha Paral of Kech of Shimlesle, is there going to be a case where if Shim is going to say that Lekech is Chayiv and Misha Para? Because if he gave money, then he can't back out. And if he didn't give money, then you're saying now that if the price changes, we're certain he can back out. And if you'll maybe want to say that indeed Rav Shimon says there's never a mishapara on the buyer, the Tanya, we learned that Rav Shimon told us on Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph that even though somebody backs out of a deal, become makom kach halacha, that he's going to suffer for backing out the mishapara, the halacha is that he's allowed to back out. Av Omer Chachamim, Rav Shimon says, such individual is going to be subject to Mishapara. My Mikamakam, what is Rav Shimon coming to tell us? Lav, Rav Shimon is coming to teach us, the Loishna Lekeich, the Loishna Meicher, whether the seller or the buyer, the Kabbalah Mishapara. So we see that Rav Shimon clearly does hold that there's a Mishapara on the buyer. But if we're saying now that either Rav Shimon says he can never back out, Ella, Kikam Rav Shimon, Bechatara. When did Rav Shimon say that you can't back out? When there was one price. I betray tariff, the two different prices. Loi Omar, but there's going to be a Mishapara. Omalei Rav Achabarei de Rav Ravashi. But typically, why can't we say that the son-in-law doesn't have, that wants to back out, should not be obligated to Mishapara, the Shliach Shavya Mikara. The father-in-law pointed him to be a shliach. And as I saw the Rishonim point out, the father says, I asked you indeed to be a shliach, but I asked you to be a shliach litkuni, for my benefit, v'loi la'afsi, but not to my detriment. And therefore, I did not mean that you should be a shliach under those circumstances. And why should the shliach be cursed? Amalei, says the Gemara, the case that we're referring to here is B'tagra de Zavon HaMasbar, that the father-in-law knows that this son-in-law is a real businessman, and he relies on him to do all sorts of deals, that he can't say you had no permission to enter this deal. Says the Mishnah, we've learned many times the concept of avos saw b'saw, that you're not allowed to lend a saw of one item with the intention to get it back, because when you get it back, it may be more expensive, more valuable than when you gave it, and that's going to be ribis. Says the Mishnah, Malva Odomus Arisim Chitin Bechitin. Somebody who owns a field, and he has Arisim who work on the field, but these Arisim, and we spoke about this in our previous year, don't have their own raw material to plant in the field. So the owner, the landlord of the field, could make up with the worker of the field that they're going to give them a certain amount of grain to be able to use to plant in the field, and also whatever percentage they agreed. So the halacha is he can make such a deal, and even if the price of the grain goes up before he has to get back the grain, if it was given lezera, if it was given to plant, it's permissible. Avaloi lechol. But if the purpose of giving this seed to the arisim was to eat it, then it would not be permitted. It would be considered a case saw b'saw. And the Mishnah says, Shoyer Gamaliel mavas arisim chitin b'chitin lezera. He would lend his arisim grain to plant. The yoiker, when he lent them, they were more expensive, and then they went down in price. Whether they were less expensive when they were lent, and then they would go up. Hainoitel mehen, but where Gamaliel would be careful that he would always take the amount of the wheat back, kishar azol. And the Mishnah says, even though this was a chumra of Rabbi Akiva, he always made a calculation according to what the value of the chitim was at the cheapest time. Not that that's what the halacha requires. El shiros lahach malatzmai, he was being machmer. Tana barim ava adam asarisim chitim b'chitim lezera. B'medvar memurim, when is that permissible? B'lo yored, when the orus has not yet begun in the field. Avl yored, if he already began working in the field, then the halach it's asr. Says the Gemara, mashna tana didon, if we look in our Mishnah does not differentiate the loymak kamaflik ben yored or ben lo yored, whether the orus has begun to work or not. Mashna tana bra, the tana of the brisa, and I saw that the Mefarshim explained, why is the Tana of the Braisa called Bra? Bra is outside. Because apparently, they used to learn Mishnayis in the Beis HaMedrash. The Mishnayis were learned in the Beis HaMedrash, but the Braises, which were not considered so authoritative, were not learned in the Beis HaMedrash. They were learned outside of the Beis Medrash. So ask the Gemara, why does the Tana of our Mishnah not differentiate? And why does this Tana differentiate? Mishnah Tana Barah, the Tana of the Braisa, the Kamaflik Ben Yard, Ben Lo Yard. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava Rav Idi Asbernli. Rav Idi answered this question. Bas the Tana Didon, in the place of the Tana of our Mishnah, Arisa Yor Bizra. It is the job of the Oris to supply the raw material. And therefore, Bein Yorad, Bein Lo Yorad, whether he has begun to work or not, Kam de Lo Yor Bizra, as long as he doesn't supply the seeds, which is an integral part of his obligation, Matzim Salakle, he could be removed. That means the deal hasn't begun. And since the deal has not begun, so lending him this before the deal has begun is permissible. So when the oris takes tvua from the owner of the field, that becomes part of the condition of the transaction. However, Basar Tana de Bra, Mari Arya of Bizra, it's not the obligation of the oris to give the seed. So therefore, Ila Yorad, If the Oris hasn't begun to work, the Matzah Masalkle, that the deal could be cancelled. Kikonachus Labots Makonachus. They could change the deal according to any terms. Yarad, but once he has begun to work on the field, and he doesn't have to give the grain. And the fact that he doesn't have the grain is all not material. The loy matzah masalkele, he can't be removed from the field. Asur. Tanabana adam oyim lechaveiro, a person could tell somebody else, halveni kor chitin, please lend me a kor of chitin. The kaitzitz loy domim, and they could make up what the price is according to the current price. And huzlu, if the price of the chitin go down, noisen loy chitin. He could give him a kor chitin. Hukru, if the price goes up, nice in the mayim, he has to give the amount of money that was agreed upon, what they were worth at the time of the loan. Ask the Gemara, why if the price of chitin go down, is he allowed to give him chitin? For like katzatz, didn't they agree to a certain amount of money? And that amount is the amount that he has to give him. Amar Rav Sheshes, hakam im like katzatz, if they didn't make up that he's going to get a certain amount of money, they only set it in the amount of grain, huzlo, if the price of chitim go down, so it's to his benefit, noitel chitov, he takes the grain. And he can't take the money, because taking money is ribbis, because he's going to get back more money than he gave. Hukru, but if the price goes up, so he's going to get nice and dumim, then he could give him money because the money is equal. He's getting the same amount of money as he gave at the beginning.